Trickeration. Welcome to Trickeration, a production of iHeartRadio. Welcome back to another episode of Trickeration, the number one podcast about deception in sports. I'm your host, Matt. And this week, we've got not one, not two, but three old-school Miami Dolphin tales of deceit involving feces in the end zone, an illegally captured alligator, and a crotch fire that refused to be extinguished. A reminder to also check out the archives. We've got about 20 episodes of absurdity over there, including what happens when you resist Officer Shaquille O'Neal, the backstory of the Kirstie Alley Wade Boggs spring training underwear bet, and an American journalist who snuck on the ice for a hockey game with Vladimir Putin. All right, enough shop talk, on to this week's show.
We had a lot of fun. It was the 70s. You know what they say about the 70s? If you can remember it, you weren't there.
In the early 70s, the Dolphins were the cream of the NFL. Led by the winningest and most intense coach, Don Shula, Miami made it to the Super Bowl in 71, 72, and 73, winning twice. To combat the pressure cooker atmosphere, the Dolphin veterans continually found ways to release steam, starting with nose tackle Manny Fernandez.
I think it was 1974, but that's immaterial.
The year was 1973.
I had bought a swamp buggy, and this one had a big Chrysler engine in it. It would run through the Everglades at 40, 50 miles an hour. And we didn't have to report to camp till 1 o'clock on Friday. So we'd go out deer hunting and wild hog hunting on the swamp buggy. And we were off running through the glades, and we came across what we call a pond. And this one particular pond had literally hundreds of alligators in it. They were just thrashing the top of the water everywhere, as far as you could see.
How big are some of those alligators?
Well, you got a lot of mamas and a lot of babies. And the mamas anywhere from 6 to 10 foot. The babies anywhere from 2 foot to 4 foot.
Joining Manny on the hunt that day was eccentric defensive end Bill Stanfill.
He reached down off the platform and grabbed up about a 3.5 foot out. I said, what are you going to do with that? Because first of all, it was illegal. He said, we're going to put it in Shula's shower.
Were you worried when he picked up an alligator, or that just seemed like a regular thing to do when you go through the Everglades?
No, but it wasn't a regular thing to do. But you grab it by the tail, he can't turn around and bite you. Of course, we had driven out there in my car, had the alligator in the trunk of my car, and had his mouth taped shut. And we went back to training camp for a 1 o'clock meeting. When we got there, we got inside and found the equipment manager, Danny Dow, and asked Danny if he would mind, while we were out at practice, getting the alligator out of the trunk and putting it in Coach Shula's shower for us.
Coach Shula had his own private shower next to his office at the team facility.
So anyway, we go out to practice. When we come in, I went and saw Danny, did you get the gator? He says, no. What do you mean? Why not? He said, all I could see was its tail. It was behind your spare tire. I said, I told you the mouth was taped shut. He says, yeah, and I believe you.
Future Hall of Famer Larry Zonka was tapped to be Manny's partner in crime.
I needed somebody to distract Shula's secretary, who sat right in front of the door to his office. And Larry went in ahead of me and got her looking for something in the file cabinet. I slipped right behind him, put it in the shower, came right back out. We started laughing. We thought this was going to be great. He and I left and went and got a couple beers. Coach Shula used to leave at 7 sharp to go to dinner with his wife on Friday nights. So we came back a little after 7 and came in the equipment room through the back door. Borrowed some of Danny's beer. Well, that night, Coach Shula, after he got done with the quarterbacks, he opened that shower door. That was it. He grabbed the towel and out the door he ran, and Shula ran all the way down the hallway, out into the parking lot, wearing nothing but a towel, screaming and yelling. Well, we're sitting there laughing. I look up and there's Shula standing in the doorway going, "I knew it was you." We denied it, denied it, denied it. The next meeting, the next day, Coach did bring it up and said he was going to get to the bottom of who did it. "I got a good idea, but I'm going to prove it, and you're going to pay for this."
Shula never could prove it. And for decades, the culprits behind the gator in the shower remained in the shadows.
Some 25, 30 years later, at his 90th birthday party, preceding the game where we were being honored as being named the number one team in NFL history, we got together and presented him with a stuffed alligator. I don't know who came up with the idea, but it was a big hit.
And was Shula the kind of guy who could take a joke, or that wasn't in his DNA?
He could take a joke, and that's in part why we did it. But yeah, was he stern? Absolutely.
To be pulling pranks like this, it sounds like you guys weren't afraid of him, though.
What's to be afraid of? I mean, if he didn't like me, he could trade me. When you're playing for $30,000 a year, what was to fear? I could drive a truck and make $30,000 and not get hit.
And what role does this kind of stuff play? Was this a pressure release? Was this kind of stuff that helped you guys come together off the field?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There were practical jokes happening in the dormitories and in the locker room constantly. We were having fun. We have a lot of memories that we talk about. A lot of them we can't share.
Shula was named the coach of the 1970s All-Decade team. But in the 80s, the on-field winning and off-field antics continued. In 1981, when hard-hitting safety Lyle Blackwood left his family's fried chicken joint in Texas to join the team, no one was safe.
With the Dolphins, there was always something going on with the Dolphins. I did have a few pranks and tricks and things that coaches got mad at me for. I wouldn't have taken this call if Shula was still alive, because he might roll over in his grave. It was our normal Friday practice. And usually the managers pick up the actual footballs and everything and get them back into the scrimmage. And there was a ball that went to the side and I picked it up. Lo and behold, there was a fresh pile of dog poop in the end zone. And so, you know, I had to use that. I had to get somebody. So I went over there and I just lightly put the ball down on it and pressed it a little bit to cover it up. And then I just walked away and I was waiting for somebody to go over and pick it up, you know, and twirl it around and get the dog crap on their hands and everything. But that never did happen. And so the whistle blew. And so we got in the huddle and I looked back and I went, "Oh my gosh." And Shula was the only one back there and I could see that ball over there. And everybody was kind of looking over their shoulder. And I said, "The ball's still there." And Shula's back there. And look, I said, "Look, he's walking toward it." And we all turned around and Shula had picked up the ball. And you know how you pick up the ball and you want to play with it? You're kind of twirling it in the air and then you throw it up in the air and twist it. And then you bring it back down in your hands. Well, he did that. And when he did, he saw he had dog poop all over him. And he just threw it down. And I know he had like a 22 out of his eyes. I could feel him on the back of my neck. But anyway, that was one of the ones that worked out the way I didn't want it to work out. But everybody was laughing, but I'm sure Coach Shula was not laughing.
One of Lyle's teammates found out the hard way that Blackwood was not a guy you wanted to get in a prank war with.
It's always a classic when you put white heat in the jock. And everybody knew that that was going to happen every year. Somebody was going to come up and do that. When they did the laundry, they put the laundry back in your locker, washing everything. But one thing you always did is before you ever put your jock on, you would always smell it.
White heat was a training room staple, a topical balm used to relieve muscle pains.
And that white heat was just extra, extra strong. It would burn anything. Robert Soule was a defensive back. I think Robert's passed away. He's a really good guy, nice guy. Before practice, on my helmet, he put something on the back that was derogatory. And I went out at the practice and everything. Everybody was laughing at me. I went, what? And then I turned around and took my helmet off, saw what it was. And Robert goes, oh, I got you good. And I go, well, years have come, years have come. So the next day, we had special teams meeting. And then you went outside right after special team meeting. We went outside and we walked through all of our special teams for pregame. And so it just so happens that Robert was late that day. And so I put white heat in his jock. And then put his bag in his locker and everything all nice and neat, like he'd never been disturbed. And if you're late, you're going to get fined. He was hurrying to put on everything. He grabbed his bag and everything and grabbed his jock. He didn't smell it. And he put it on. He went, uh-oh. And one of the things you don't do when you got white heat on you, you don't go in and put water on it. That's like gas on a fire. And then we heard him go into the shower in there. From the room where Sheila was and was up trying to talk and everything, you could hear Robert going, ah, ah. And we were all giggling and everything. And we all went into the special teams meeting and the coaches turned the projector on. We looked at the door and there was the silhouette at the door. So he came waddling in like one leg at a time, but down toward his waist, we saw two big lumps. And those were ice bags that Robert was holding on each side of his nuts. And every time he moved, he went, ah, ah, ah. And he walked across the film projector and he finally sat down at his desk and he was going, ah, it's hurting so bad. And I go, I'm sorry. Coach Shula said, Robert, why don't you go on to the training room? And so when the meeting breaks, I rush out of the meeting and rush into the training room and I turn around the corner and there was Robert and he was laying on the training table. He had one of those boards that pregnant women usually get to bend their knees and then they spread their legs, you know, for the baby to come out. But Robert had both of his legs spread eagled. He had two ice bags, one on the right, one on the left. And he was holding his pecker in his hand and he was dabbing the end of his penis. It was dabbing into Vaseline and then he was dabbing the hole in there. So I guess he thought he was getting some relief and we were all howling and everything. And I said, Robert, I said, I'm sorry. I said, I didn't know it was going to be this bad. And so anyway, we went out to practice. And so we were back over behind the offense standing watching, and Robert comes walking out and he's walking pretty brisk. I said, oh, Robert, hey, you feeling better in there? He goes, yeah. He goes, but I really didn't like what they put on me. And I said, well, what's that? And so he pulls down his britches and they'd taken a surgical glove and put a bunch of Vaseline in it and taped it onto his pecker. Robert was well endowed. And so it was covering a lot of area. And when he pulled down his pants, the hand came out and started bobbing up and down, and we all just started dying laughing. Coach Shula tore me a new one for that, but I really don't regret one bit of it.
A big thanks to Manny Fernandez and Lyle Blackwood for the stories and to the Miami Dolphins for helping to facilitate these interviews. Also, a thank you to listener Doug Pajak for suggesting the Gator Tale. If you have ideas for future episodes, please email the tip line at trickerationnation@gmail.com. Would love to hear from you. And if you're liking the show, please take a minute to rate and review on iTunes and share the podcast with like-minded friends who might get a kick out of this kind of thing. And finally, as we do every week, we check in with the legend, Chris Mad Dog Russo. Chris, how'd we do this week?
Maddie, good job. Keep up the good work, pal.
Thanks, Chris. All right. Talk to you guys next week.
Trickeration is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.